Well, there's lots of light up here. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." And now from Acts, chapter 1, 3 through 15. To them he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heavens, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were one accord devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is God's word.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for welcoming me to be your preacher for this morning. I want to thank in particular my hosts, Mr. and Mrs. Dr. and Mrs. Wood, and for the hospitality, and not only for the hospitality, but for the friendship which we have had over these quite a few years, all the way back from when Dave, you'll forgive me if I say Pastor Dave or Dave, when he was in the Presbytery of New York, maybe from around 1960. And in fact, I've had quite a few, a good relationship with him, even before he met Rose, his Rose. Rose, I met David before you, okay? So I hope you...
That was my first love, but you stole my heart away.
before he met his Rose, and I also have a Rose, but her name is Abigail. So I want to welcome my Rose, Abigail. That is what made me King Alfred. If you go back to the British, my name is King Alfred, and she's Queen Abigail. So we have been friends for, and we want to thank Abigail. Well, she was introduced, and she stood up before when she was introduced. So I don't have to introduce her any longer, anymore this morning. Oh, and by the way, you'll have to forgive me for sitting down. I have taken on the role of, I'm sure you may know this gentleman, Charles Stanley. He's a popular preacher in Atlanta. In fact, he sits down and preach because he's quite a few years old. And I also, if you know the story of the Bible, Jesus sat down. So I'm following the role of Jesus, and even when he was giving out communion, it says that he wasn't standing up giving communion. So I don't know. I hope that this is not going to what Pastor Dave is going to do in the future. But Jesus, when he sat down at the table. So I am sitting down at the table this morning, so I am in good company. That's why I am sitting down and not standing. Before I close, should I say also that I want to thank you for this opportunity of me sitting down. And you know why I'm sitting down? Because I don't know if I should have said this one, but where is it? These days, through Cain, I'm able to get around. You know Cain and Abel? Through Cain, I'm able. I'm not going to use a cane to spank you. But anyway, through Cain, I'm able. But also, let me tell you this. It's not one day at a time. It's one step at a time. And I'm taking, although I take one step at a time, it takes me one day to take one step at a time. That's why I got up here and started before you got here. I came to the pulpit so that I wouldn't take a whole day to take my get up here. Anyway, this morning, I hope you are understanding my accent.
We have an interpreter if you need one.
I hope you understand my accent, my Jamaican accent. I'm from the land of the fastest man on earth, Jamaica, Usain Bolt. So that's why my accent, but I hope my speech does not betray me as a Jamaican, not as a, well, you remember what they said to Peter, your speech betrayeth you. So don't forgive that speech. So are you understanding me? Does my speech, do you understand? Are you? Okay, getting it clear and coming through. Anyway, today is a very interesting day. I don't know if I should really speak about my personal reflection or life experiences, or I should give you a biblical interpretation of the passage which was just read this morning. It is really, as you may know, on the church calendar, and you know that Ascension Day, which is 10 days away from us. Every year, we have some, the calendar tells you of some very important days. I won't worry to mention the calendar recalls civic history and public holidays, MLK, should I say Memorial Day, which is way ahead of us. Well, this month, or even Independence Day, the calendar recalls. But our church calendar, any of you may know, I'm sure, the church calendar, the Presbyterian church calendar, it recalls some very, very important religious events. Christmas, the 25th of December. It also recalls Easter. A general which includes most calendars, whether civic or whether religious, but one which is cut both sides, is New Year's. And interestingly, I don't know if you know what is happening in the world today, especially here in America, about the other very interesting calendar day. Chinese New Year, Hanukkah, Passover. Even the Muslims have what is known as Ramadan. These are important holidays, but not church holidays, but the Presbyterian Church tells us about Ascension Day and Pentecost Sunday. And you know that Pentecost Sunday is 10 days away. But going back to the New Year's Day, you know there is a debate going around the country today that there is a question of the Chinese New Year, just as how the Christians are celebrating the New Year's. Should the Chinese holiday become a New Year also holiday? But we are not going to go into that this morning. We are going to look at our passage for today, which, as I said, is a passage on Ascension Sunday, Ascension Day. And Ascension Day, if you may have your calendar, it's in the Presbyterian calendar. It's 10 days from today, the 10th of May. Yeah, and it was that day, it took place on the Mount of Olives. If you were just reading the passage just now, you will see in the text where it was there mentioned, it took place on Mount Olives. It was a mountaintop experience geographically for the people of God. When Jesus said to them, when he gave them the sense, the word, "You shall be my witnesses." It was a mountaintop experience there on Mount Olives. And it is my prayer that for the church, it was not just a mountaintop experience geographically, but it was a mountaintop experience for the people of God. I hope this will be a mountaintop experience for you this morning. Jesus said what? Jesus appeared and he came back to them. And if you look carefully at that text in verse 6, they said to Jesus, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" And Jesus turned it around and he said, "It's not me, it's you." Verse 8. You heard what the text said. Jesus said what? "You shall be my witnesses." They said to Jesus, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" And Jesus said what? "It's not me, it's you." In other words, this morning, he was saying to them, the future of the church is not in my hands. Yes, it may be in God's hands. Yes, we pray to God, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" But Jesus said to them, what? "Not me, but you." I don't know how many of you are here this morning. And Jesus is saying to us here this morning, you look at it. I'm sure you have quoted that passage very often. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Read it. Verse 6 said, "Will you at this time?" Jesus, he had come back to them. And Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." In other words, you know what he was saying to them or to us? The future of the church is in whose hands? In your hands. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Do you understand this? We think that it is, "Oh, leave it up to God. God in his old time will do this." And Jesus turned around and said, you look at it, verses 6 and verse 8. I don't know if he's playing on the word "you." It was from singular, but it was to plural. "Will you at this time restore?" You see the cross here, and it's very often you see Jesus. But Jesus turned it around and said, and I am saying to you this morning, my friends, we have got to understand the future of the church is in whose hands? In my hands. He said it to the 11 disciples there on the Mount of Olives. And there were 11 disciples there. But in verse 15, which I don't know if we read verse 15, but it moved from 11 disciples to 15 to 120. 120 disciples. On that day of Pentecost, there were 11 disciples. But then the passage which we read, I don't know if it was read to verse 15. The verse 15 says there were 120 disciples, people gathered there when they were having the casting of lots to replace, Judas who had betrayed and so forth. There was immediately, and I want to say, please forgive me, praise the Lord, there were only 11 disciples there on the day of Pentecost. But in verse 15, there were 120 there. Somehow they began to spread the word. They began to spread the word. Look at the difference between verse 6. Began to name them. And they named them, and he mentioned James, the son of his brother. His brother became there. Not only his brother, but some of the women. So they moved from, in verse 6, the 11 disciples to 120. Within a brief space of time, there was an explosion. I'm not talking about a bomb explosion. I'm talking about these 11 disciples. There were no 120. Immediately they began to spread the word and tell the people that Jesus is alive. And they went back around and started to tell the folks that Jesus had started a new movement. A new movement. Within one couple days from Ascension Day, when there were only 11, there began an explosion and the beginning of a new movement. They began to spread the word. They began to spread the word that Jesus is alive. My friend, looking back this morning, we want to understand that we have got to be here to explode, to share the word. Those 11 disciples have made a tremendous impact, and they began to make an impression on the community. And Jesus said to them, "Go you into all the world and make disciples." All the world, not just here in Jerusalem, but throughout all the world. And this began their mission. This was the purpose for which they were chosen, and they began to spread the word. The church, when Jesus said to them, Jesus gave them this commission. This Jesus gave them this mission. The church exists for mission. The church exists. Go you. You have all said that word, and we have repeated it over and over. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the church, this was, in fact, whether you look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8, or you look at Matthew chapter 28, go you into all the world. This was the last word to Jesus. The last word of Jesus to his disciples. Go. Please. I would ask you to, what was the last word of Jesus? I'm sure you all know it. This was the mission that Jesus gave to the church. People always think about what was the last word that a dying man said on the cross, or the last man when he was, if a friend is passing away or someone is leaving us, what was their last words? And the last words of Jesus, yes, on the cross he might have said, my mission is completed, But when he came back and alive, and his last word before he ascended was, "Go ye into all the world." And we have got to remember that. We worship Jesus. We bow down before him. But on his ascension day, and we recall, what was the last word that grandma said, or uncle said, or your father said? And the last word that Jesus said on his ascension, "Go you into all the world." Are we taking these words seriously about what Jesus said to us? Yes, he said on the cross, mission accomplished. But it's an ascension day. When he left us, he said, "Go you into all the world." The church exists for mission. Maybe this could be your text this morning. The church exists for mission. And another text, another way you could identify these words is home and foreign missions. Because when Jesus said, "Go you into all the world," he spells it out very clearly. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the world. It's home and foreign mission. And interestingly, talking about home and foreign mission, even remember, if when we have to start at home, you dance before you what? Nobody has ever said that you dance before you dance abroad. Isn't that a common statement, or is that a Jamaican statement or a community statement? You have to dance before you dance abroad. So you have to begin at home. And where is your home? Is it Glenshaw? You have a responsibility. First of all, you have to dance at home. Is Glenshaw your Judea or your Jerusalem? Each one can make a difference here, and we have to begin here at home. Jesus, when he arose, he said to the angel said, "Go tell Peter that he's alive." There in John's Gospel, chapter 20, the resurrection chapter, he was telling Mary to go tell the disciples and Peter that I have risen. He spelled out a name. Maybe you have a Peter. In fact, the brother Thomas, Didymus, when the disciples came together and Didymus was not there, but the following Sunday, Didymus came and he had to, "Unless I see Jesus," they had to tell Thomas, they had to tell Didymus, and they started the one person who was absent from the group, the other 10 disciples, they said, "We have seen the Lord." And they went out and they told Didymus. And fortunately, Didymus, the following week, he was able to see for himself. So when we leave here this morning, we have got this. Oh, you missed. I don't know if it was a great sermon, but we missed Jesus. Tell them about what you missed last week Sunday. You have to begin. Just as our go tell Mary was able to tell, "We have seen Jesus is alive." We all have to have, we have to begin at our Jerusalem. We have to begin with our neighbors. We have to begin somewhere. And where is that somewhere? Glenshaw. The community here in Oakman, our brother David, I think he lives in, what's your community? Oakman. I hope David realizes that this is going to be his Jerusalem. It's a Jerusalem. We have got to begin in go tell Peter. We have got to tell our friends what you missed. And then we have to go regionally. There was a man by the name of Philip. He went regionally. He did it Samaria. And he had an important role to play because he was there. Initially he was a deacon, but then he also moved on to telling the people in Samaria. He went on to Ethiopian, you remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And he went, Philip started, yes, as a deacon. What an interesting role as a deacon, helping in a soup kitchen. And then he moved on to spreading the gospel to Samaria. And he had 7 daughters who prophesied. I don't know if it's the same. He began in his family. His daughters became prophet. He not only worked in the soup kitchen, he worked with his family. And then he ended up was the one interpreting and helped out and brought the man from Samaria. You shall be my disciples, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and on Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. This is what Jesus said to the disciples, and they went and they began the explosion. Mission begins, yes, and then we have got to grow globally. Today we have a challenge before us, and this is what God is calling us to do. Well, when Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses, he empowered them. He gave them the power. He poured out the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, go you into all. And that word all is very interesting. It's not only the question of geography, but all becomes all-inclusive. You remember the story, the passage in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus said, unless you have visited the sick, when did I see you sick and in prison and visited you? When did I see you hungry and fed you? Brothers and sisters, the word all means we are supposed to be all-inclusive. It is also telling and helping us to understand that the work of the Lord, it is very interesting, the word all. It can be pastoral, it can be didactic, it can be charismatic. All means all inclusive. We are not only teachers, some of us are ruling elders and teaching elders, but it must be all. God is asking us, whether it is visiting the sick, the poor, the needy. When did I see you? Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So ministry is very, very all-inclusive. And I pray that we are involved in an all-inclusive ministry here in our Glenshaw. Go you, yes. Ministry begins at home, but it is also inclusive. And so God gives us the power, God gives us the purpose. Go you into all, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And it must be an evangelical. The reason must be to save others, to bring them to the knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ. He gives us a purpose. He gives us, he spells it out, the places, and he pours out the power, the Holy Spirit upon us. Go you into all. And today we have quite a challenge. In fact, Jesus himself reminded us, somewhere in, I think it's Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus went through all the towns, he went through all the towns, places, And he said, and he was healing the blind man. He was not only healing the blind man, but he was also helping out others. And he said these words, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." I don't have to tell you that. The harvest today is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There is an abundance of wickedness, both locally and universally. There is an abundance of wickedness. You don't have to look around what is happening in our world today. You don't have to, whether it is, I don't know if it is Channel 4 or whether what channel you have down here in Pennsylvania. But I'm sure you know CNN and you see what is happening. The abundance of wickedness. The absence of workers. You know what is happening today in terms of the absence of workers? There are no longer the amount of students in theological seminaries. How many churches are in this presbytery? And how many, your pastor has to be an interim pastor. How many churches? I'm sure he has been told by the executive presbyter that, "David, when you retire, we have enough empty pulpits for you to preach," because students are not answering the call. The harvest truly is plenteous. There's an abundance of wickedness. But what? The laborers are few. But Jesus also says there's not only answered the question, the abundance of wickedness. Jesus gives the answer. Pray that the Lord will send forth more laborers into the harvest. We have got to pray. Pray that the Lord will send. Pray for the students, that God will speak to young men and women, yes. Our theological seminaries are becoming, they're lowering in numbers. Pastors are fewer in numbers. So we have got to pray. Thanks, Brother David, for our prayer this morning. Have you ever prayed for, in fact, maybe you don't know, how many missionaries? Do we know about missionaries on the mission field this morning? Have we prayed for the mission field this morning? We have entertained in our home maybe around 3 years ago. Do you know the missionary in the Congo? Where do you know a personal missionary? Do you pray for our missionaries? Pray for Jeff Boyd. That's a name who is right now in the Congo. The missionary from the Presbyterian Mission Agency. I had the privilege of playing host to a lady by the name of Mama Christine Bukumwana. She met me when I was in the Congo, and she's now in Belgium, but she, in fact, we'll talk more about her later. Do we have Jesus' answer? Abundance of wickedness, absence of workers. And then he asks us, the answer is pray. Pray, not only pray, but he says, pray that the Lord will send. How do we send? How do we send this morning, my friends? You cannot go, but you can help pay the cost. If we cannot pray, yes, we can pray, and we may not be able to go, but we may be able to pay to send someone. And one day, just as we sang at the first verse, "Here I am, Lord," we can go. Maybe you cannot go to overseas, to the Congo. You cannot go to, so many places. But I always carry Congo on my heart, having worshipped in stayed in the Congo for 3 years. But we can pray. But one of these days, we can pay. And we can also, as we said, help us help find new missionaries. Do we know what is happening in the Congo? In fact, let me not speak about the Congo before I go. I started in Jamaica. Jamaica was my Judea. Jamaica was my Judea. I was involved in ministry. In Jamaica, I was involved with the Christian education. Do we have workers in our area? The future of the Glenshaw is dependent upon us. The future, I started in my Judea, in my Jerusalem. I was involved with Vacation Bible School. If we ask that we have a Vacation Bible School in Glenshaw, who is going to begin to help in the Vacation Bible School at the Presbyterian Church in Glenshaw? Where is our Jerusalem? Where is our Jerusalem? How can we? Yes, we have to dance at home before we dance abroad, but we have to start what is going to happen for the future of the church here at Glenshaw. Who is coming up to carry on? In the summer, don't we? Do we have by any chance? We know of the summer camp. Where is our summer camp? Do we have volunteers to help in the summer camp? Here in America, what is going to happen to the future of the church? Do we know what is the statistics is telling us? Because of the more missionary zeal of people with other faith, do we know one day that the Christians will be, yes, today there are more Christians in America than other religions, but do we know that what is going to happen to the future of the Christians here? We have got to start our Judea in our community, and then one day we will once more restore the glory. They have taken religion out of schools today. Easter, the only thing you may hear about Easter is nor'easter. You don't hear about geographically the weather, but Easter is not on our calendar any longer. So we have got to make sure. We are silent when it comes to, we cannot speak to someone about, we have to be very diplomatic about speaking to someone else about religion. And we never share it with them. And so that is why we have to be careful. We have got to start here at home. We have got to spread the news. Jesus is alive. Jesus is coming again. Yes, I started in my Jerusalem in Jamaica. And 50 years ago, yes, 50 years ago, it was in 1968 that I arrived in the Congo. 50 years ago, almost to the year, to the month. You go into all the world, from Jamaica to the Congo, from Jerusalem unto the uttermost part of the world. And so this morning, before I conclude, yes, we have got to go globally, universally, globally. And this is a challenge, and this is the word that I would leave with you this morning. On this Ascension Day, on this day, on this, what do you call it, on the 10th day, within 10 days we are remembering the Ascension Day, the Mount of Ascension. God promises to be with us eternally. Lo, I will be with you always, individually. Yes, God calls us to action. He's asking us, will we go in our Judea, in Glenshaw, the future of the church here? We're going to dance at home, but we are going to go into all the world. You can be Christ's ambassador to the global village. Here I am, Lord, we started with this morning. I will go, Lord, if you need me. I'll hold your people in my heart. And a very interesting song says, I'm gonna live so God can use me. The only other gospel that people will know is your life. I'm gonna live so God can use me. Anywhere what? Anywhere, Lord. Anytime. I'm gonna live. Go home. Go home. Glenshaw can be your mission field. Glenshaw can be my mission field. My Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. May God bless you, that this may be your mountaintop experience as you commit yourself to go. Did I say unto the uttermost part? But go to Glenshaw and see what I can do to make sure the future responsibility is in your hands as to the future of this church. God bless you. God bless you.